say thank you to the decorating committee once again, because you just outdid yourself and this looks so good. And saying that if you got a poinsettia in honor or memory of someone, or someone got one in honor of you, or after the service, if no one's making a mad dash down here to get a poinsettia, you can have them. And it would really help if you would get one of them. Please do this, Dan. Because if you don't get one, I thought they'd make good organic matter on a garden, but they want to do more than that. They're going to take them to nursing homes, but that's still effort. So if you want a poinsettia after church today, come and get one, and we'll be glad for you to have it, and you'll be helping us out as well. We've talked about hope revealed all this Christmas season, and we've come to the point where we lit all the Advent candles. We talked about hope, love, joy, and peace, and we lit the Christ candle, and here we are today, and it's kind of leftovers. And y'all know about leftovers, don't you? What do you think about leftovers? Well, leftovers are this. You can reheat them, eat them cold, or just throw them in the trash. And when I'm thinking about leftovers of food, we go somewhere and as a family, and restaurants are great. Restaurants give you plenty of food. They oftentimes give you more than you can eat. And you get one of these cute little boxes to put it in, and you bring it home and you put it in the refrigerator with every good intentions of eating it. And what happens to it? You ever got a salad and put that bad boy in the refrigerator? The next day you go look at it and it's gone from green to kind of yellow, and it went from nice lettuce to I've just kind of learned to eat it. Maybe that's why I'm so big. I just eat it while I'm there. But leftovers, I'm not a huge fan of leftovers. And we went Christmas Eve to Mom and Dad's for our family get-together. And I took Mom and Dad some country ham. I love country ham. And so I took several packs of country ham up there because I know my sister and her family likes country ham. And Mama, not to be outdone, she went and got one of these spiral-cut hams. That's city ham. I don't know how you can call it ham. But so we had Christmas dinner, and everybody ate the country ham. So I went to Mom's yesterday, and I went by Mom's a few minutes the other day, and guess what I've had every time I've been? City ham. Leftovers. And I say all that kind of jokingly. I appreciate leftovers. I don't mind if I go somewhere and somebody gives me food to take home. We just kind of laugh about leftovers. But I kind of feel like that's what we give to God. You think about the Christmas season we just came through. We spent so much time getting gifts for family members and those people we love. We spent so much time and effort making everything look so good and everything being so right for family reunions. And the one that we are honoring sometimes kind of gets pushed to the side. And then when Christmas is over, we're so tired that we really forget what it's all about. And God gets leftovers in our lives. And today what I want us to think about is this, that God wants our best. And I hope that we can give God our best. The passage of Scripture that I would like for us to read comes from Proverbs chapter 3, and you can turn in your Bibles, you can look on your phones, or you can follow along on the screen as I read Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 10, and we will begin reading together. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep your commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. God says these things in this passage. To do what he says. To always love. To submit to him. God says that his ways are always best. God says to give him your best. And then he sums it up by saying, if you will do these, you will be blessed. That's what God says, but what do we say? We like to do our own thing, don't we? How many of us like to be told what to do? None of us. I say, and Ann says, and we're really serious, that I do everything she tells me to do. And she does everything I tell her to do. Let me tell you why we do everything we tell each other to do. Because we don't tell each other to do anything. I am so stubborn that if she told me to do something, I probably wouldn't do it. And she's learned that, so she probably wouldn't do what I tell her. But if she asked me to do something, I'll do anything. We don't like to be told what to do. And sometimes I think that gets in the way of our service to God, because there's something inside of us that doesn't want to be told what to do. But God asks us to do what he wants us to do. And then if you were to ask anybody in this room, they would say that we know that we're supposed to love people and we're supposed to love everyone. But we forget to love, don't we? Driving down the road, in the line at the store, when your kids misbehave, when kids at church misbehave, when somebody says something to you they shouldn't say. Sometimes we forget to love. And then we like to make our own decisions. We know that we should seek God's advice and seek what God wants us to do, but we want to make our own decisions. And then to be such smart and intelligent people, we forget that God's ways are best. And then through all that, most of the time, God simply gets our leftovers. If we have time, if we remember, we will do something for God. And then the final outcome of that for all of us is that we miss out on God's blessings because we fail to do what he wants us to do. We want God's blessings, but we forget to do the things that he wants us to do. I would say to you this way, if we love God, he should be first in all things and not the second option in our lives. If we love God, to love God is to obey God. Jeremiah knew that in the Old Testament. Jesus taught us those kinds of things in the New Testament, that when we love God, we will obey him. And if I were to say, if you raise your hand today, if you love God, raise your hand, everybody in here would raise your hand, because we do love God. Yes. We all love God, but we really forget to obey God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and do what I have asked you to do. Then I would say to you that we need to always love. Do the things that we do reflect the love of God? As I try to figure out what I'm going to say, I kind of have to do the litmus test and look at myself, because it's just not right if I stand up here and ask you to do something or tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And as I write things down, I look, and do the things that we do reflect the love of God. And as I looked in that imaginary mirror of my own life, I thought to myself, I hope so. I try to love people. I try to do what's right. I want to be pleasing to God, but so many times we get frustrated and we fail to love people the way that we do. Do we do things out of love, or we do them for glory or for credit? I like to do them for love. I like to be low-key. I don't really like people to know what I've got going on. And over Christmas this year, my family did some things for other people that you'll never know about. I wasn't doing them for you to know about them. Does that make sense? I was doing them for God's glory, not mine. Had a man one time, years ago, wanted to make a gift. And I said, that's very good that you make a gift. He said, but I want my name on it where everybody will know. I said, I don't believe we need your gift. Because it was all for the wrong reasons. But hopefully, during the Christmas season, we have reflected on God's love enough that we would be willing to do something for others to show His love. Do we love somebody because they love us? That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? You know, if you're good to me, it's easy to be good back to you. But if you're unkind to me, it's hard to be kind back. But folks, we're supposed to show God's love. And that's hard. And in the world we live in, when it's a dog-eat-dog world, let's show love to people. Then I would say to us, is the love that we have in our lives, is it actually a lifestyle? Is it who we are? Is it what we are? Or is it just something that we think of doing and do it later? I think of many of you as I watch, so loving and so kind. And it's just what you do, because it's who you are. And I hope that each one of us can make love just a part of who we are, that we don't have to stop and think about it, that we just do it every day. Love always, and always love. The Bible teaches us that love wins out every time. And folks, it's hard to show love, but I promise if we show love and do the right things, we'll win out every time. We may not always win the battle. We may go away from somewhere being made fun of. We may go away from somewhere someone giving us a good chewing. But I assure you this, that if you show love to people, when you go home and you go to bed at night, you can sleep because you don't have to feel guilty about something you said to someone else. Have you ever told somebody how it was? We have, haven't we? You just get mad, and my mama used to say, I think I'll just tell her off. I never knew what telling her off meant. And thank the Lord my mama's a good woman. I don't guess she ever told anybody off, but she'd tell it there at the house to get it out of her system. My mama, a little bitty woman, I guess if she ever got mad, she'd tear somebody up. So I'm glad she doesn't really do that. But have you ever told somebody off, or told them how it was, or just let somebody have a good chewing? For a little bit, you sticking your chest out and you're strutting around and you're feeling so good. But you know, before the day's over, you feel like dirt. Y'all know that. And guys, if we live the way God wants us to live and He's first in everything in our lives, then we will show love, and love always wins out. Then I would say to you that this passage tells us that God needs to be the boss of our lives. And boss is not a bad word. The WWJD, what would Jesus do? That is kind of a worn-out phrase. It got really big in the 80s and 90s, and everything you did had WWJD. We probably had WWJD shirts here at church when they first came out. It's kind of outdated. It's kind of worn out. Let me tell you something. It still works. And if we would ask ourselves what Jesus would want us to do in every situation and what God wants us to do, our lives would run a whole lot more smoothly. If putting God first and doing what He wants us to do becomes a lifestyle, and we bathe everything we do in God, we wouldn't even have to stop and ask, what would Jesus do? We would do it automatically. And my friends, I challenge you that as Christmas is over, that just let God be first, and everything else will turn out all right. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place. And we can hang a nail on that and hang our hat on that. Jesus said in Matthew, He said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added to you." If God is truly the boss of our life, if Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to us, everything else will fall in place. The world around us may be falling apart, but everything will be good with us. And then this passage tells us to realize God's ways are best. God designed us and knows what is best for us. He wrote the owner's manual. And then if He loved us enough to send His own Son, do you think He doesn't want what is best for us? I bought me another toy the other day, if you can imagine that. I bought a feed grinder, of all things. And most of you in here don't even know what a feed grinder mixer is. Roger's grinning. He knows. But this thing holds 100 bushels of grain, and it'll grind it up, and it'll mix it up. And why did I want it? Because it came with two augers that I liked. And my cousin has a feed grinder. But I really don't know how to work this thing. But I went online and I printed off an owner's manual. And that owner's manual tells me everything I need to know about that feed grinder. And guys, God made us, and He printed off an owner's manual for us, that if we will follow the guidelines in here, our life will work. And we can tune up our lives just like I hope to tune up that old feed grinder. And before you think I spent a lot of money, you look at it and you say, I wasn't giving much for that. I didn't. It was my little cheap Christmas present to me, I suppose. God's ways are worth it. He delivers what He promises. Peace, confidence, eternal rewards, and the joy of living in the light of His love. God knows what is best for us. The next frame I really like, when God says no to us, it is not a rejection, but a redirection of us. How many of us have told our kids not to put your hand on the stove? We want what's best for them. I had a little kid tell me this morning that their mama had smacked their hand. And the sister of that little kid said, the reason mama smacked your hand, she didn't want you to get hurt. And sometimes when God says no, He's putting us on a little different path that makes our lives a whole lot better. My friends, God's ways are so good, and God's ways are so much better than anything we could understand. And then the next frame says, just because I don't understand God's plans does not mean that He is not with me. My friends, God loves us so much, He would never do anything on purpose to hurt us. He loves us and always wants what is best for us. Chris and Betsy, y'all got that little baby. They grow up in a hurry, I assure you. But you would not do anything in your power to hurt that child, would you? You'd give your life for it. And that's the way God's love is for us. Friends, God's ways are best. He wants absolutely the best for us in everything that we do. And then I would say to you, give God your best. He gave his best to us. Why shouldn't we give our best to him? Give God the first fruits of everything you do. The writer of Proverbs here is giving us the example of a farmer and what they did when the fruits came in. The first fruits that they got were given for offering. And what the writer is saying to us and what God is saying to us through the writer of Proverbs is that give God your very best. Give God your first fruits. And it will make him happy. And he will bless us through it all. The next frame, I'm not sure how clear it is. But it's that old hymn, give of your best to the master. And how many of you know that song? You know, the only time I remember hearing that song growing up was at WMU Mission Studies. Is that valid? Maybe Mount Rahama was the only place that did that, but every time we would have a mission study or we'd get ready for Annie Armstrong or Lottie Moon, the ladies would sing, give of your best to the master. And folks, that's what he wants of us, our very, very, very best. And I hope we'll do that. God wants our first fruits, and I hope that you will give God your best. He says, freely you have received, and freely give. We have blueberry bushes. Y'all know that I have blueberry bushes. I'm always trying to give blueberry bushes away. I mean, the blueberries away off the bushes. But in the back there, we have a couple wayward blackberry briars, tame blackberries, something that should be easy to grow, and I just never quite got a handle on it. But let me tell you what one of my joys every summer is. To check my blackberries, and I probably get 10 a year. I just don't put on. I don't know what's wrong with them. But I will go pick my blackberries. And guess how many I eat? I love blackberries. But I will take my blackberries and bring them into the house and give Ann and the girls, if they want them, the blackberries. That is a thrill of my life, to give those first fruits away. And that's the way that we should be with God. That we should give him the best of everything that we have. In Proverbs 3, those verses, honor the Lord with all your wealth and with the best parts of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with an overflow of good wine. When we give to God the best that we have, he will bless us richly. And then the next slide. My grandpa died without ever using a computer. But somebody hurt him. Because they put his quote on the computer. And that is simply this. You can't outgive God. And my friends, the more we do for God, the more that he would do for us. And the best thing I can challenge you to do as Christmas is over, give God the best of everything and don't give him any leftovers. Give him the first fruits. What should you take home today? Would you consider trying to give God your best at all times? Would you think about this week? What better can I do for God? How can I serve him in a better way? And then would you let love rule? Would you let love be the thing that guides your life, that you always love no matter what? And then would you try to live like Jesus would live? Would you give God your first fruits? And would you let God bless you? Because that's what He wants to do in all things. Christmas is over. Stuff's to be done. But don't forget that God loved you so much that He gave you His absolute best. And then let me challenge you this. This church is such a loving and giving church, and you know that our church has kind of adopted a Kentucky mission group up there, and Olivia and Brent and I went to Kentucky several weeks ago, and let me tell you how God works. That I called the lady that Sunday afternoon, and I said, "Debbie, y'all going to be there tomorrow?" And she said, "Well, sure." And I said, "Well, we're coming. We've got a load of stuff, because you guys always bring your stuff to go to Kentucky." And she said, "That's really good, because the schools are coming Tuesday to get clothes and whatever they can find for the kids, because they have very little." And I told them that I had nothing to give, but that God would provide. And so we went on Monday, and we filled that building plumb up. And I think God multiplied it, because I've never unloaded so much stuff in all my life. And they kept coming out, "Can you see the back of the trailer? Can you see the back of the trailer?" And I don't know how God works all that, but God takes care. But she told me this. She said, "Don't forget us around the first of the year." She said, "When it gets cold and people start building fires, that's when houses burn, and that's when we need so much stuff." And so the leftovers that we have can become the best that somebody has. Don't let your leftovers go to waste. If you got something for Christmas, if you got a coat, and you had a coat that you didn't like too good that you'd been kind of just keeping, send it to Kentucky. If you got a new set of sheets, a lot of S's, bring an old set of sheets. Let's help those people out and do what we can. And I know you'll do it. We bring stuff all the time, but go ahead and bring it, and we'll get it up there, and we'll meet the needs of people, because that's what this church does. It shows that love to people all around the world. So, as a part of making God first, let's not forget those who are less fortunate. And let's make a difference in their lives. My challenge to you as we leave is God first. And if He's not, would you consider making Him first in your life? We're getting ready to start a new year. And 2015 may have stunk for you, but we're changing gears. You can start over. God gives do-overs. God gives forgiveness. And during this new year, let's make God first. And I assure you that life will be good. Would you pray with me? God, thank You so much that You love us and that You care for us. God, thank You that You didn't hold back on us. You didn't give us leftovers. You gave us Your best. God, help us to realize what this Christmas season has been all about. It's about You loving us and giving us Your Son. And God, in the days to come, help us to be willing to give You our best. Let us not get stuck giving You leftovers. Lord, we love You and we thank You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing hymn number 275, "I Surrender All." And I hope you can really say that I surrender all to God above. Kelly, come and lead us.